God wants to have a conversation with you. God wants to have an ever-deepening relationship with you. And when I say with you, I don't mean you guys. I mean you. I want you to hear that for you personally. God wants to have a conversation with you. God wants to have an ever-deepening relationship with you. And God didn't just leave it at that. God gave us a gift to facilitate that relationship, to facilitate that conversation. God gave us a way of doing that, because that's a bridge of communication that we could not have built. But God built that bridge for us, and God gave us that gift of prayer. So we'll be thinking about prayer this morning as we continue to make our way through different spiritual disciplines. And as we go through them, each of these disciplines presents, I don't mean ever to suggest that one, like for instance, we have looked at solitude, we looked last week at reading scripture. I don't think there's one that necessarily elevates over another. I don't want to hold up one and say this is the most important. But I do think there are things that are characteristic to them. And so with prayer, where we are this morning, I would say a couple of things about prayer. One, I think prayer may be the easiest of the spiritual disciplines. It may be the most accessible of the spiritual disciplines. And the reason I say that is because you can do it any time. There is not a time where it's impossible for you to pray. Prayer can be something you do out loud. It can be something you do in your mind. But there isn't a circumstance where you're not able to continue that conversation with God in an intentional way. So whether you're in worship where it's kind of an expectation that we're going to do that some of the time, or whether you're at work, or whether you're at school, you're at home, you're whatever you're doing, any time and any place are places and times when you can pray. So in that way, it's never off the table. It's never like I'm going to have to wait for a better time or a more appropriate time or a time when I don't have this to do this. Prayer is always an option. Beyond being the easiest, though, and this may sound contradictory, but I think prayer is one of the more challenging of the spiritual disciplines. And I say that partially as a person who's been a pastor, ordained pastor, for a while now, and have heard people talk to me about prayer. And actually a couple of statements that I have heard over time when people talk to me about prayer, and I don't mean people that are just trying to find a reason not to pray. I mean people who truly want to pray, but they run into obstacles. And one of the obstacles that I hear from people is, I don't have the words. I don't know the right words to say. And the underlying idea there is that there's kind of a formula that has to be invoked, or prayer doesn't work. That somehow there's certain things and the professional prayers, people like me in robes, they taught us something so that we know the right words to say that invoke certain things so that God's ears perk up when we speak. And I would first say that's not the case. But beyond that, would say that it's important to pay attention to that, because again, that comes as a heartfelt thing from folks who wonder what words do I use with God? Beyond that, it's just the idea. Sometimes I don't know how to begin. I don't know where to start. I don't know, how this should begin this conversation with God. And I do have a practical suggestion there. Which is, I almost always try to begin with thank you. I mentioned that with the children. That if there's something that you've been blessed by, something good has happened, and even on the worst of days, usually we can find something that we feel God was there. There was a blessing there. But find something to begin with in terms of saying, God, thank you for this thing. And be as specific as possible. But I find that to be a great place to begin. And then to move into other things that you want to talk with God about. Why is prayer important? There's probably a ton of reasons why prayer is important. But I think at the top of the list might be that if we look at scripture, so if we do what we said we were going to do last week, which was read scripture, if we look at the gospels and if we look at the stories about Jesus, we will see that Jesus prayed. It's not vague about that. It talks about Jesus praying. And we actually have instances of hearing Jesus pray. So we have references to Jesus doing the first thing we said 2 weeks ago, solitude. We have evidence or stories of Jesus withdrawing by himself to go and speak with his Father. Prayer. We also have examples of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, for instance, talking with his Father again, but here have words reported there of what he said to him. But the evidence of this is that in order for somebody to know that this happened, people had to know he was doing this. Now, I don't believe Jesus was doing this in a way that said, hey, everybody, I'm going to go pray. Watch me. This is going to be amazing. But I do think that Jesus modeled it. I do think Jesus was intentional about his friends knowing where he was going and what he was going to do when he got there. I need to take some time to go pray. And I think they probably saw him do this most days, take that time. And in watching Jesus, they began to have that notion that this is important, not just for him, but if it's important for him, it surely must be important for us. And I think that holds true for us. If it was true for Jesus that prayer is important, how much more so must it be for us to be people who pray? It was so apparent to the disciples that in some of the stories of the time when Jesus gives them the Lord's Prayer, it begins with a request, Lord, teach us to pray. So having seen Jesus do it enough time and seen how much Jesus valued it, they wanted to know, and we have a version of that story in this passage this morning that gets to that answer that Jesus gave to them. But it was important enough that Jesus' followers asked him about how to do it, but also important enough to Jesus that he answered the question. Now, that may not seem like an amazing thing, but I want you to think about how many times they asked Jesus questions. And how many times Jesus answered their questions with questions. Jesus was not always about giving an answer to your question. He was always about kind of prodding and poking. And if you had a question, he wanted you to work at it and think more about it. But in this particular instance, his answer was to give them an answer and to suggest to them not a way that they had to verbatim pray every time they prayed and only ever pray this way, but a model for prayer, which is incredibly compact and at the same time says so much. And as we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer later on following the pastoral prayer, we're also going to sing it later on at the end. But as you go through just the different phrases of the Lord's Prayer, pay attention and think of each little phrase has so much in it that Jesus could not have packed more into such a tight space than what he does. I find it interesting in this passage that how Jesus begins, when he begins to teach them to pray, is not to begin by teaching them to pray. And in fact, Jesus does something which I think is almost a little rare for Jesus, which is he begins by telling them how not to do it. There's a couple of thoughts that begin with the phrase, when you pray, don't. I just love, you can almost see them getting, when you pray, yes, don't. Don't do this. And so his instructions are first, when you pray, don't pray like those who go out and pray in public and call attention to themselves. And he's talking specifically, I think, about people like me. People who stand in front of you in robes and pray. And what he's saying is, it's not a show. It's not a production. And what he'd seen was enough prayer that had gone off the rails, enough prayer that had began with good intent and missed its mark. So he continues on past that first one with another when you pray, don't. He says, when you pray, don't pour out a flood of empty words. See, this gets to that question of what words do I have to have? What words do I need? How exactly do I pray? Because we think there's like the words that we use in everyday life, and then there's the God words, the church words. And I probably have developed a little bit of this over time, but I know I've been around preachers who, if you're having a conversation, they talk with you like they're talking with you. But then when we move up here, it's all of a sudden, God. And it's like, what happened to your voice? But it's got to do with that transition space between what is the normal everyday interaction and sort of this religious space. And there's something about it that changes us. Now, not to make light of that, but here's the thing. If we don't speak in everyday conversation like we swallowed a dictionary, then it is likely that we don't need to pray that way either. Because God will not be impressed by the number of syllables in our words. What God is not looking for, if you go to the gas station, I think this is lots of places, but I look forward to going to fill up the cars at the Circle K in Mount Washington, because they got this thing now called gas station TV. And so you when you start to pump the gas, it's got this little screen and it pops up and they give you a little fact about some sporting event or what's going on in the news. But it also has a word of the day. So get your word of the day there. What I was getting to with that little word of the day reference is that God is not looking at our word power, at our ability to use the word of the day in a sentence. So what God is looking for is us to be able to begin to lay our hearts open and be honest with God about what's going on in our lives and the things that make us happy and the things that bring us joy and the things that concern us and the things that are weighing on us and about what we can do for God beyond what God can do for us and the things that we can ask God for, but making ourselves available in such a way that, as we said in the prayer of confession, sometimes we can go to God with a long list of things that we have for God to consider and forget the part about listening for God and being open to what it is that God is saying to us. God is indeed wanting to hear what's on our hearts and what's in our hearts. Then Jesus, in each of those instances where he has a don't, follows up with kind of a suggestion for what to do instead of the don't. So in the first instance of the person who calls attention to themselves, what Jesus suggests is that we pray with humility. And in a way, that one's kind of an obvious one. I mean, we're talking about a form of communication that would be impossible for us had not God made it possible. So it's God inviting us, God's creation, to speak with God, to be in relationship with God. And that's humbling. That's humbling that the creator of everything wants time with me, wants personal time, wants to listen to, cares what's going on, cares what the kids did at recess, cares what happened in our day. I believe that's true, and that God rejoices in knowing, you know, what makes our hearts happy and aches with us when we ache. But we pray with humility. And we pray, and we do pray for an audience. But the audience we pray for is an audience of one. And that is, we are praying to God. We're not praying for people to have a perception of us one way or the other. That conversation is a conversation that goes on between us and God. And the way that I think of prayer largely is, it's not like I prayed here, and then I'll pray here, and then if I have time, I'll pray here. I think of them the same way that I think of a conversation with any of you. So that I may have a conversation with you, a little one in the hallway before church or after church or at the yard sale, but I don't think of those necessarily so much as individual conversations as much as I think of them as an ongoing conversation. you know, I talked with you then, I remember, I don't forget all those things and have to begin again the next time I talk with you. I pick up, and you pick up, and we remember that you were worried about this, or you were concerned about this, or this was going on. And same thing with God. That ongoing prayer conversation is just that. Ongoing conversation. A prayer is communication with God then about what is in our heart. And I think that the hard part is not saying to God the things that are in our heart. I don't think that's particularly difficult to say to God what's in our heart. I think the larger challenge for us most of the time is to know what's in our heart. We have to, if I'm going to say, you need to talk to God about what's in your heart. In order to do that, you've got to know the thing that's in your heart. And that requires some self-knowledge. And it requires some self-examination. And you do a little preparation of yourself so that what prayer facilitates, what prayer does in a way, is that as you're talking with God about the things that you believe are in your heart, you begin to pay attention to, I really don't feel so much strong to be praying about that. Or there's this other thing bubbling up, asking for attention. And you begin to think, maybe this is not the thing that's on my heart. Maybe it's this other thing. So what prayer does is prayer clarifies. Prayer will clarify that way, that thing that you want to have conversation with God about, because in the midst of talking about it, and I would ask you, how many times have you been talking with someone, and in the midst of talking with them, you remember there was actually something you really did want to tell them, or that was important that you had forgotten about, but it comes to mind. Same thing with God. We go to God and we make it a regular part of our lives. It may be that in that conversation that we're having, remember, oh, right, there was this thing I needed to ask you about, or there was this question that I had related to a particular decision that was going to be difficult, and how do I go forward with it? The woman who is on the DVD that we're using tonight from the Sacred Rhythms, she says this. She says, we come to God with empty hands and empty heart, having no agenda. Half the time, we don't even know what we need. And I really would emphasize thinking about that. Half the time, when we come to God in prayer, we don't really know what we need. And then she says, we come with a sense of our own spiritual poverty. Emptiness is the prerequisite for receiving. Now, if you want to spend some time unpacking that, that's your personal meditation in the bulletin today. But I really like where it ends up, because what it talks about is sometimes your heart's just full and there's things you got to spill out to God, but you don't have to wait till then to have a conversation with God. And in fact, what she's suggesting is that when we're really coming to God, not with our own agenda or our own list of items, but when we come to God kind of empty and seeking, what can you do with an empty cup that you can't do with a full glass? You can put something in it. And so if we come in some ways empty, it's an opportunity for God to fill that emptiness and for us to make that offering to God of ourselves and say, I don't really have anything that I have to do or accomplish in this space, but I'm listening. I'm looking for what it is that you're saying to me and the ways in which you are drawing me towards things this day, God. I have shared this little bit, this in Sunday school and in different settings, but I want to repeat it here because I think it's got value. I think that what I'm about to say has to do with knowing our limitations, with kind of knowing the perimeters of what we're able to do as people, and it also has to do with knowing who we're in conversation with in prayer. God doesn't mind to know what outcome we think we want. By that I mean it is fine to pray and ask God for something. I don't think God is swayed one way or the other by that necessarily. I think it's good for God to know where we stand, but I think that God doesn't mind us coming with those requests or those things that we would like to see happen. But I also think this, I think God is not looking for suggestions from us. It's not like God's got a box and says, how can I improve things? Let me know. Because if God did that, God, it would not be for us. There would be some other group we don't know about who would be offering suggestions to God, because I think we're underqualified to do that. What God is looking for, rather than suggestions, is, again, what's going on in us? There is something that is uniquely happening in your life. It's not happening in anyone else's life. God is vitally interested in that. And God's vitally interested in the ways that you're struggling with that, or you're rejoicing in that. And God made humanity because God was looking for companionship. God celebrates relationship. And I mean it when I say that God wants to be in relationship with us. And the way that you do that is you share things about yourself. Not just surface things, but the deepest things. And I believe that as we do that, God does answer our prayers, but answers look different than handing God a menu and God bringing us back what we asked for. Answers look like the ways that God nudges us towards things, the way that we pray, and then someone shows up a day later, a couple days later, and maybe we notice and maybe we don't, but it's got something exactly to do with the thing that we've been praying about, and suddenly this person shows up, and is that coincidence? We could see it that way. But I would suggest it's God working with us in prayer. God does not need for me to pray God through the process of a hip replacement. God does not need me to lead God through the process of how you do back surgery. God has people who do those things, and I don't have to explain that process to God. But there is a way to pray for those things. And again, this is a borrow from Ruth Haley Barton, but this is the thing that I was getting to all those moments ago when I said, I've shared this. But I find this to be such a helpful visual, because I think I maybe had done something like this, but this is so such a, when we pray for someone, so when we're going through our prayer list, sometimes we see there's somebody who was added today, stage 4 breast cancer. Now, obviously what we want to do is pray for healing for that person. We want that person to experience wholeness and health. Everyone we pray for who ever had an illness doesn't receive that response. And so I don't think that means that some prayers worked and some prayers didn't. But a way of praying so that we may ask for that healing, we may ask for that wholeness, but she suggests that in those situations where we really have something that we want to lift up and we just aren't sure how exactly you put this into words, don't. Don't put it into words. Her suggestion, which I find, again, so helpful, is imagine yourself in your conversation with God. And imagine that there is a person who you want to pray for. And what she suggests is, as you pray, visualize yourself lifting this person and carrying them into a space where you then walk in and you place that person before God. That's your prayer. Your prayer is not that I know what the answer should be, and so here are the things you ought to do, God. It's that you are the only one who knows what the answer can be. And what I do as I have my conversation with you and I'm honest with you about what's on my heart is, this person is on my heart. This situation is on my heart. This circumstance is on my heart. And we place those things before God. Jesus, when he was in the garden, he did not give God the alternate scenario for, you know, this plan was fine up to this point, God, but I think you've messed up the end a little bit, and so I've got some alternatives for you. What Jesus said in the garden as he was waiting for them to come and arrest him was, if there's any way this can happen another way, could we do that? But then he came back with the far more important piece of that prayer, which was, not my will, but thine. Not my will, but thine. And if you look through the Lord's Prayer, you will find an echo of that language in, thy will be done. That's what we are asking God to do when we pray the Lord's Prayer. Not, it doesn't say, thy will be done as I have suggested it to you. Or thy will be done as I want it to be done. But it is, thy will be done. That's the thing that we're praying. And that's saying that there are hands above mine that know better, and I lay this before you, but I trust that at this point I've handed it to the right person. It's now in your hands. You have a take-home assignment if you want one for the week. What I would suggest, ask you to do, is each day take someone before God. Each day think of one person or one circumstance that you want to carry into God's presence, and do that. And so I mentioned hip replacement surgery. You might carry Mike into God's presence someday this week prior to Thursday when he's having his hip replacement surgery. I mentioned back surgery because Kelly had shared that Keith is going to be having back surgery also on Thursday. So we might pray for Keith one day. But you have all your own circumstances as well. You have people that are on your hearts. My suggestion again is to each day identify one. Take that person or that circumstance into God's presence and place it before God. Then, after you do that, say the Lord's Prayer. Pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. And think about what you're praying. And as you conclude, if you would write down for yourself, who did I pray about today? So that at the end of a week, you should have seven people or circumstances that you prayed about. And then just kind of keep an eye on them. This is a real simplified version of a thing that I think is really helpful, but I think it's always helpful if you write down what you're praying about. Because the thing that allows you to do is go back and see what you were praying about a week ago. Because a lot of times we'll move on and we're praying about the next thing, but we don't stop and say, what happened? And the what happened is important because it brings expectation to your prayer. And if you look at it, you will discover that things do indeed happen and that prayer does make a difference and that your ongoing conversation with God is important. God wants to be in conversation with you. God wants to have an ever-deepening relationship with you. And God didn't just leave that to us to figure out. God gave us a gift, a tool, a resource available anytime and anywhere with which to accomplish the building of that conversation, the deepening of that relationship. Prayer. Thanks be to God. Amen.